What did you make of, so Tame, you've got a, when's your book coming up, by the way? We want to also mention that. Your book, you've been working on this a while.
Yeah, still working on it. Ah. We don't have an exact date, but still working on it. Too many good stories, and I'll have to include a couple of Tame when he was my roommate. And he was a great guy. A lot of great stories with him, a lot of great stories from guys around here as well.
Yeah, you had a year in Denver with him and Paul Kariya there as well. So what do you make of him going in on Bruce Boudreaux? I'd say it feels that it's all about Solani because he talks about his ice time, his power play time, his production. I think if he'd broaden that out and said, this is why I don't think he was a good coach for us, that's another story. But it's sort of, he promised me things, and it makes it seem personal rather than professional.
Well, it's an autobiography, and it's his feelings. So, you know, you have the right to print whatever you want. It's a little bad timing, and it was like not taken out of context because it was said, but I think it was mal-timed. And I think when you look at getting knocked out of the playoffs, and that's where all the quotes came from, you know, it's tough. I love Tame as a guy and as a player. He was an amazing player. We all get older. We all of our roles diminish, and we fade away. It's tough to hear those comments when you're leaving the game, but at the same time, that's the way he felt, that's what he believed. But as a coach, I have to side with Boudreaux. You have tough decisions to make, and as a coach, you're trying to put guys in place to win. You have a job to win. He's trying to win the Stanley Cup. It's nothing personal, and like I said, Tame was a great guy. It was just bad timing, and the way that it is, he isn't coming back. So I feel sorry that the story has to come out. They have to deal with that, but at the end of the day, it's his feelings, it's his quotes. And, you know, I know he's backtracking a little bit, but it's, I guess, how he felt.
Solani is 44 years old, and Bruce Boudreaux and his team was one of the best in hockey. It really felt like sour grapes. I was annoyed at the Solani quotes yesterday, Matt, but then you think about it, and when you are such a competitor, and you can speak to this because, like you said, you roomed with the guy. When you've been doing what you've done for 20 years, it must be hard to walk away, right?
It's very hard. I mean, they don't. Professional athletes are narcissists by association. I think when you look at most professional athletes, you're narcissists. You believe you are the best at all times, and that's just something. And that's a lot of what gets you to where you are. You have to believe you're the best. He was one of the best in the world for a long period of time, and one of the best ever. When you talk about all the players that have played the game, so to play at that level, I never have, and I thought I was the best. So to know what he's going through, I really can't really put it into comprehension. To have your role diminished is very tough, but at some point you have to slide into what they're believing. Now, maybe Bruce Boudreaux told him that he was going to get more power play time. Maybe he was going to be on the top unit. Maybe he was going to get more playing time. But if he was told that he was going to play roughly 15 minutes, and I believe his ice time was there, about 14:08, that's pretty darn close to what Bruce Boudreaux told him he was going to be at. So, yes. Sounds like sour grapes. I understand it, but I also understand, having played with many a professional athlete that are at the top of their game, and when they diminish, it diminishes. We're going through it, and we're seeing it with Marty Brodeur at the same time. He's not a guy that can play 72 games anymore. He's a 30-game guy at the most. So he's going through the same thing, and he's got to take the same thing from the coach that's going to take him if he gets a job anymore.
Matt Barnaby joins us. Yeah, I mean, think about Brad Richards. Everyone's in on John Tortorella. You can't treat Brad Richards that way. Well, Lan Vigneault last year didn't play Brad Richards all that much more in the regular season or give him those kind of opportunities. Your thoughts on the, we reset this a few times this morning, Matt, the Phil Kessel, Steve Spott thing. It's an enigmatic player that he's there for his offense, and I'm sure it got blown out of proportion. It happens. But I would also make the case Phil Kessel's not there to break the puck out of his own zone, and I'm not sure he's an expert at it, so maybe there's some give and take that can improve as the season goes on.
Again, I relate everything to as a coach now, because I did play, and I play with players that, yes, Phil Kessel isn't paid $8 million a year to play D zone. He's not played $8 million a year to break out of the zone. He's there to score 35 to 40 goals. That's it. That's all, and that's what you're getting from him. So, yes, blown out of context, but as a coach, you have to be more lenient with those type of players. There's not many players in the world that can score 35 to 40 goals in the National Hockey League. So I understand it was taken out of context, and I think Spotter, who I thoroughly enjoy as a person, and I think he's a great coach, really learned a lesson of what the difference is between coaching in the Kitchener Rangers and being an assistant. Everything is on the record. Everything is going to get out, and with social media and and the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs are talked about and everything is magnified, you have to watch what you say, even if it's probably not meant as malicious. But there is some truth in what he said. So you always have to be a little bit more lenient with your star players. But at the end of the day, let Phil Kessel blow the zone a few times because he makes them win games when he's doing it more than he makes them lose.
Matthew Barnaby blowing the zone, not good. Phil Kessel, okay. All right.
I'd be sitting on the bench for months at a time if I blew the zone early. We went through this. I had Jaromir Jagr when I played with Pittsburgh and Kevin Constantine. And Kevin Constantine tried to make him into a five-on-five, disciplined in your own zone, don't turn away from the puck. That didn't go very well. One day, they brought us all into the office, and he showed clips of Ron Francis and Jeff O'Neill playing great D-zone. And at the end of the whole clips, Jaromir Jagr said, well, I think you should trade me for Jeff O'Neill because he's great in his D-zone, which really wasn't true, but he had a better plus-minus. We all broke into laughter, and Kevin Constantine kicked everyone out of the office, and that was just Jaromir. Jaromir was going to play his system. He wasn't fitting into yours, but he was going to score 120 points for you, so you better live with it, and he was there, obviously, a lot longer than Kevin Constantine.
O'Neill listens endlessly to our show, so he'd never admit it, but was that like a hologram of Jeff O'Neill? Was it photoshopped? Was there some editing involved?
Hopefully it's not the new Jeff O'Neill, because he looked like he got stung by a couple bees.
Thanks, Matt. We'll catch up real soon.
Have a good day, guys.
You too. Matt Barnaby, great stuff. One of our favorites.